I returned after the revolution. In fact, I was there at the end of March. And it seemed as if I was returning to a different country. It's extremely hard to explain. I said this on a previous show, and I'll say it again. It was a bit like traveling on a time machine and going back to the French Revolution a few days after the taking of the Bastille, or a few days after the signing of the Declaration of Independence in the States. It really felt that way. You know, I was returning to a country that had metamorphosed itself almost overnight. It's not so visible to the eye. My first impression when I returned was that, you know, here I was again in Cairo with the usual traffic and the noise and the street vendors and the taxis and the crowds in the street. At first, I was a little bit disappointed. I thought, where is this revolution?
Yeah.
But then it shows in the people. There is something amazing. It's a bit like the whole nation was given a happy pill, you know, and it shows in their face, it shows in their posture, it shows in the way they talk, of course. It's quite extraordinary. Something happened, a sort of critical mass to the population. And it's amazing. I mean, the first thing you hear, I happened to be picked up by some young, two young people at the airport who were sent by the office, and they had taken part in the Tahrir event. And they're beaming. I mean, their eyes are glowing when they talk to you. It's as if they've received a huge Christmas present.
Yeah, yeah.
And they... the first thing they tell you is that we're not afraid anymore. And it's very hard for us Westerners to understand this. I do because, I've lived in Egypt for a large part of my life. I was born there, as you rightly said. And I lived through the very difficult part of Egypt's modern era, from the first revolution in 1952 to... I left Egypt when I was nearly 20 in 1967. So I know exactly what they mean, because under such an oppressive regime for such a long time, people began to be totally closed, afraid to speak, afraid to vent their opinions under this kind of dark cloud all the time. So suddenly, there's a kind of release, an amazing release that is witnessed with the people, and they. I mean, Egyptians are naturally very talkative people, but now they really, really talk. It's the first thing you notice. They can't wait to tell you, especially foreigners when they arrive, about what happened and how they feel and how they're looking forward to freedom and democracy and how they're not afraid of the police and so forth. So that's the first impression you get. You're going to stop me somewhere, George, because...
No, I'm fascinated. I'll jump in whenever I have to, Robert.
Yeah, please, this is... because you know me. I can go on for hours like this.
As you know, my father was born in Cairo, so that region of the world is very special to us. And, he ended up coming to Detroit after he was 6 years old. But, you know, all his life, you know, he kept telling me about things in Egypt that he could remember as a little boy, pictures of him sitting on a camel, pictures of him by the pyramids. And the fact that you've been there way more than he has is just really fascinating to me, Rod.
Yes. I know of your background, George. We talked several times about this, and I'm sure that your father, even though came at an early age, always remembered his roots in this country. You know, the whole civilization has its roots in Egypt. I mean, that's the thing about Egypt. And I mean, I was asked a few weeks ago on an interview, you know, when is the last time Egypt had a democracy? And I said, never.
Never.
It's never known what we know and take for granted in the Western world. I mean, since the beginning of its history, it has been under autocratic rules. I mean, for 3,000 years, the pharaohs ruled Egypt. And although they had a very high spiritual approach to their lives, nonetheless, the pharaohs were supreme, believed to be gods on earth, and they ruled as such. Now, there was no democracy. Then came, of course, the various occupiers. There was first the Persians, then the Greeks, who ruled Egypt for 300 years. Then came the Romans, who ruled with an iron fist for nearly 700 years, and then came the colonial occupiers. And then finally, in 1952, they had the so-called Free Officers' Revolution, and everybody thought, wow, the monarchy has been toppled, and freedom at last, but it didn't happen. What they got was a military junta that lasted for 60 years, and Mubarak is part of that phase. So really, they haven't known any form of democracy at all. So all this is relatively new and very exciting for them. You know, it especially for the young people. I mean, it's to me, I was astounded. I mean, let me give you my impressions of what happened in Tahrir Square, as we all watched on TV for 18 days. I mean, quite an extraordinary situation of watching that live, a revolution taking place live on an hourly basis. I mean, I always compare it to other revolutions of the world. It's a bit like having a time machine and flying to France in 1789 and actually witnessing these history-making events. So, but to me, what was astounding, and I think to the rest of the world, was the amazing courage of young people. I mean, the word courage suddenly came huge in my mind. I mean, it their persistence, their tenacity. You know, they were gassed, they were shot at, they were beaten, they were attacked by camels and horses. Jeez. And they stayed. You know, they stayed there with their flags waving and refusing to budge before they got what they want.
Well, for that region of the world, even going back into the days of antiquity, Robert, these people were so advanced. They had so much culture, whether it was their libraries or how the pyramids were constructed and why they were constructed, yet they were always taken over by someone. Isn't that amazing?
Well, true. But like I said, the first phase, which is a rather long phase, the pharaonic phase, lasted for 3,000 years, and it was an Egyptian phase.